the moment.
You're good. It's 6 o'clock. Call the meeting of Ashen Tree Commission to order. First up, we have approval of minutes of last meeting. I had a chance to review those.
Yes, under liaison reports, the last sentence in community development. What happened to that sentence?
He's just texting to see if we actually.
Yeah, so that was that the trees were planted. I'm not sure how that got left off.
Yeah, that's, you know, just. So if that could be straightened around.
Yep.
Okay, then I move that the minutes be accepted.
Second.
All in favor? All right, liaison reports. What you been up to, Pete?
Well, I wanted to let you know that the Japanese garden is, the actual construction is being deferred again until fall, it looks like. Now, there's more planning necessary, and I think that's just the way it is with it.
Season's closing quick for planting.
Yeah, so, but that's, as of now anyway, it looks like that will actually start to see some things happening in the fall, but it's still on.
When does it go out for bid?
Sometime, I think this spring, be able to get a landscape contractor involved. And,
So,
question about, I talked to Mike Oxendine about the witch hazel kind of at the top of the creek bed there.
Right.
Whether that may have a chance of being incorporated into the design or as a last resort, moving it. Do you know any progress on that?
I think, as far as I know, moving it is the plan for that. Yeah. It doesn't fit into how the, as of now anyway, how they want it. So, I know it's not going to be the easiest thing to move, but hopefully.
All right. It looks like I totally skipped over public forum, so if anybody is here to speak on anything not on the agenda, now's your chance to come up and speak your piece. If not, we'll move on. Aaron, did you have anything for us for liaison report?
Yeah, just a couple of things. Most of you have already completed this. Thank you, Kat. You get a gold star. Asa, if you wouldn't mind signing that and giving it back to me, that'd be great. I sent out everyone all of the relevant policies, and this is just acknowledging that you've read them.
In an email?
Was that? There was an email that I sent it out, yeah. And I can provide you all of those in a hard copy if you'd like. It's about 80 pages. And then...
I'll check out the email.
Yeah.
You might want to get a hard copy of the one to sign, though.
That's the only one
that
needs to sign.
Oh, that's it?
And then next, Tree Commission is giving its annual update to City Council on March 17th. Really, the only two people that really have to be there are me and Chris, but generally, you know, when I've done this with public art, the chair of that commission really wanted to have other commissioners present to wave the flag. So if you're available on March 17th, I believe that meeting starts at 7, and it should be very near the top of the agenda.
I think there's 6 now.
Is it 6?
Go 6. Thank you.
6 o'clock?
6 o'clock, and I'll confirm that with an email. And those are the, thank you, Derek. And those are the only two items I had.
You said that's Arbor Day?
No, that's the annual Tree Commission update to City Council on the number of activities we've done, the outreach we've done.
Did you want to be there?
I'll try to be there with you if you want.
You'd be on TV.
To talk about the tree climate comp.
Yeah, that'd be good on the list. Mm.
Yep.
Yeah, wide open stuff like that comes to you. Let Aaron know. We'll drop
on the list.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, I'm working on the copy right now. So if you have any things in mind, in particular, notable things that we accomplished, and once you and I have kind of crafted that, there's some things that we're going to be discussing at this meeting, including Tree of the Year, that is going to reflect on that. And once I've buttoned up some of those details, I'll send it out to all of you for review.
Cool.
That's all that I have.
Okay. All right, well, we'll move right into the Type 1 reviews.
We have representation for the first two, I believe, so far.
So I'll just go through our procedure here briefly, or not so briefly. But this is the time and place for a tree commission review portion of the land use public hearing. If you wish to speak at the hearing, please keep your comments and testimony limited in scope to issues, comments, or concerns pertaining to the landscaping and trees. The following procedure will be used in this hearing. Number one, the public hearing will be open to those interested in stating their position regarding the matter to be considered. They will be invited forward to speak. During the public hearing portion, all who wish to give testimony regarding the specific application are encouraged to do so. If you wish to speak for, against, or comment in any way, please come forward to the table at the appropriate time, give your name, address, and make your statement. Next, at the beginning of the public hearing, staff will present its report on the action and conditions of approval. At this time, commissioners will have the opportunity to ask staff questions. After the staff report, the applicant and the applicant's representative will have 15 minutes to present the proposal. The commissioners may ask questions of the applicant or applicant's representative without affecting the 15 minutes allocated for the applicant's presentation. And fourthly, other members of the audience will be allowed to speak regarding the application and shall be limited to 5 minutes each. Those who wish to give testimony shall be called forward and give testimony. Five, the staff will then be given an opportunity to respond to any question of the commission or any matter which has been raised. And then the applicant will have 5 minutes of rebuttal time, after which the public hearing portion will be closed. And just since folks have showed up, we'll go through. Are there folks here from the Starflower application?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll do that one. I'll call to order planning action PA Tree 2020-00096. Property as at 384 Starflower, owner is Mountain Creek Estates HOA. Applicant is Manuel de Aquino. This is a request to remove a large pussy willow tree on the property that has come in the area to the Mountain Creek Estates HOA. Application materials indicate that the tree may be located in a parking area to the north of the common area that may be dedicated as right of way. The tree is described as being approximately 30 feet tall and has bad form that seems beyond help by pruning. The tree has a number of dead branches, several of which have fallen. Application indicates that this poses a hazard. Application also indicates that there appears to be evidence of disease at the base of the tree as well. Anybody get a chance to visit this and find it? I think you did not find it. All right, staff. Okay.
Yeah, I do have my. Yeah, the only remark I would have is based on the application materials, I wasn't sure. I mean, I found the tree based on where it was identified on the map. I'm not sure if what I saw was a pussy willow, but I don't really have anything to add other than what's in the blurb. And the applicant is here to speak on his behalf. And do you want to come up, sir?
Oh, sure. Thanks.
Do you prefer Manny or Manuel?
Manny's fine. That's what
I'm going to go by. Manny,
you're
going to
Welcome, Manny.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Tell us about your
tree. Either I don't know the history of the tree.
You got
so.
Is it? You working with Casey?
Yeah. So Casey has done work for us. We became a Firewise community a little over a year ago, and he did a lot of the work in moving arborvitae and other trees. So we like working with Casey. He's a hardworking guy. So, anyways, he came out to see the tree. And he noted that it was greater than 6 inches. So he said, you know, you're going to get a permit, so that's going to come in to file that with Aaron.
And Aaron, so this is commonly held property, or is it?
Yeah, so the lots that are between 364 and 394 is common area. What's interesting about it is if you're looking on the map, you'll see how the lot doesn't extend all the way back to the alley. And so that area where the parking is actually right of way. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you could make the argument that this is a street tree, but it seemed more likely that it was on private property. But, yeah, it's a common area associated with the homeowners association.
Was it, do you think, I mean, willow, was it there before construction? I mean, those were developed, what, over 20 years ago, so...
Yeah, it's possible that tree was a volunteer. I mean, subdivision has been there for quite some time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But it's not like that it was required.
I don't have evidence that it was a required planting of a landscape plan.
So there's no like mitigation.
Well, mitigation.
Mitigation
may be required if it's a hazard tree. Shall be required if it's not.
I had a couple questions. My first one is for the arborist. Is do you know approximately how long these trees flower for?
It's in full bloom right now.
It's in full bloom right now. I just noticed that there was heavy pollinator use of the tree right now. Lots of bumblebees and honeybees and all that kind of stuff.
They
and
are.
It would be nice in my mind if we could at least let the tree feed feed all those pollinators through its blossoming, and maybe put off the if we do go ahead with removal, put it off until after the pollinators have had their fill of that. So it's not.
I would think within a month, but
I would think within a month.
If that's
that sounds great. We'd like to replace it. Put another tree there, and we'd like to choose a pollinator. From the tree.
Yeah, it looks like it's a good location for a pollinator. So
you can usually do better than a willow in a
common
space. It's falling apart. So
We're thinking of either a dogwood or possibly a redbud.
Yeah, so we got redbud on there. Any other questions for the applicant?
Someone should get out there with their pruning shears and take some branches off and stick them in water and root them.
There you go.
And then you could have many more.
Yeah.
Lots
if
of pollinators.
I have room for a pussy willow. I might do that, but I don't.
Yeah. Well, this one's definitely got a lot of dead. A lot of the dead's been pruned out, but there's still a lot of dead in there. And even if pruned out, it's still going to just keep falling apart.
Right.
That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, sure.
So, I'm fine with
it. Well, then we should
like a
move to accept the recommendation.
What do you think about an almond there? Would that be a good spot for that? I mean, they have great blossoms and...
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of almonds, you know, that
also
come up. It's also
pretty
in the parking lot,
tree.
So an almond would probably eventually cause issues with the parking lot, too.
Okay.
So I would leave it up to the decision of the homeowners association.
Redbud and dogwood, of course.
Too. Okay.
So I make a motion to approve the application as submitted with the recommendation of replanting the tree and the choice of the applicant.
Second.
All those in favor? Motion carried. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Will there be some follow-up notice for us or something? Or?
Yeah, so what this is a recommendation, a recommending body, and so what will happen following this is the staff advisor will render a decision. I'll reduce that to writing. You'll receive a notice of decision, and then there's still an appeal window that has to run beyond that. So we'll be in touch next week sometime, and it would be probably fair to expect that you'll be good to plant to remove it in early April.
Yeah, then I'll wait until...
Yeah,
that would be great. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thanks for observing that. All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Is anyone here for Palm Street? For Palm? Okay. We'll call to order planning action tree 2020-00097. This is 264 Palm Avenue. Owner is Gilmore Trust. And applicant is Gordon Gilmore. This is a request to remove a tree of heaven, Ailanthus altissima, that has grown at the rear of the property. The best access to view damage being caused approach the property from the alley to the east. Let's see the site map. The application material shows damage that has been caused to two fences, a patio area with pavers, and cracks caused on a concrete slab. Site visits to this one?
Yeah.
Did my best. It was a bit hard to see.
If you go around the back, you can see it. You can wander in there.
Yeah, I didn't want to wander in. But I got a fairly decent photo of it from over the fence.
The staff report for it?
Not much to add than what's in the blurb. It is a tree of heaven. We don't have anything that is, while it is recognized as an invasive species, it still needs to rise to the criteria of either a tree that is a hazard or a tree that is not a hazard. The invasiveness of the species shouldn't bear on your opinion. And the property owner is here, and I'll put it on behalf.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I don't know what to tell you. If you'd like to get rid of it, it's shooting out suckers everywhere, and they come up around the foundation. I've been told even by guys that have been in our crawl space that they're rooty-looking things down there. We have cracked on the slab in the patio, and it's knocked over the fence. We've pulled that out of the way. And, I've been there 11 years, and we've had to pull up the concrete to put down pavers and had to redo those pavers one time from roots. I've cut out roots, and it just continues onward. It's going to take over the world.
I wish.
So, yeah. Any questions?
Is it at all connected to the other tree happens, like along that fence? Like, was it at one point planted, like in a row like that? Because there's two others.
Yeah, I've been there 11 years. Is it 11? 12? Something?
Nine
years. And that they were all there when we got there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
They could all be volunteers.
Yeah, I mean, if you look down the wood fence, you can see volunteers popping up every 10 feet, and they're going in the other direction. We actually have some on the other side of our house, believe it or not. So I'm like, okay. The worst is how much you said. Yeah, they are. I didn't realize they were the worst at the time we bought them. No thought of that. So that's what we're going to.
What's the crack? I see the pavers. What's the crack in
the other
that
side,
solid surface?
The other side of the little outbuilding there, which is was a hair salon at some point, and then it was storage, and now it's a music studio. The other side of that has paver, has a concrete slab, and that crack is in that location. The foundation underneath the music studio, I feel, is at risk. I can't identify whether it's been damaged or not, because I'd have to excavate, and I'm not going to do that. So. But the crack is over there. That's where I took the photo. I didn't know really how to describe that on a document for it.
What's the diameter of this? Like 8 inches, 10 inches, maybe?
No, it's pretty
yeah,
easy.
It's
what do you call those doubles? Like that at the base. That's like yay. The biggest one is about so. Yeah.
It had probably been cut at one point and then moved back. That's my guess.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I personally would say it should get cut down before it becomes a bigger problem. So
I like you.
But with those other trees, the seeds and the roots are gonna keep doing the thing, so it's going to be an ongoing. Even if you take it out, it's going to be ongoing.
I understand.
Monitoring.
Once it's taken out, and if I start to see sprouts coming up, I'm going to just treat it like tough grass or something. Cut it every time I see it.
Yeah.
I mean that chain link's with this is it's about that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a motion?
I move that we accept the proposal.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thanks for coming in, Glenn.
Thank you. And I followed what happened before. I'll get the other back.
Absolutely. Yep. Right. Have a good day, sir.
You too. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming in.
How about 461 Allison?
I do not believe we have anyone representing this application that is present right now.
I was asked to. But I'll skip over Pioneer. How about East Main?
Yes,
come on.
Yeah. My husband is very ill and has to sit.
That's fine.
Oh,
yeah, that's fine.
To be clear, Chris, these are not the applicants. They're here to speak to the application.
Okay. We'll do our bit first.
Yeah, please.
And
okay.
Then, yeah.
It's the second page.
So I'll call our planning action T1-2020-00089. Thank you. This is 835 and 839 East Main Street. The owner applicant is Samara Burnett. This is a request for a conditional use permit to authorize an increase of the maximum permitted floor area for the addition of a new art dance studio and additional habitable space to the upstairs unit. The property is currently developed with an 1,812
square foot duplex. And the proposed development includes 232 square feet upstairs, 533 downstairs, and for a total of 2,597 square feet. The property allows a total MPFA, maximum permitted floor area, of 2,256 square feet, which would require the authorization of an approximately 15% increase of the MPFA. In addition to the approval criteria for the condition for a conditional use permit, the criteria for historic design, district design standards approval must be met. The application also includes a request to remove a single large tree from the backyard due to its proximity to the proposed construction. Site visits. I couldn't find it. Did you find the tree?
Yeah, I went there and you could just see the top of the canopy from
this.
Yeah, I went underneath the carport, and if you look right over that fence there, you can see where the tree, and I took some photos, where the tree is kind of lifting up a bit of a slab of concrete. I believe that's the one that's in question. It's kind of right on the fence line that divides the two backyards.
Yeah,
I do have a bit to add to this. So this is... If it were anywhere else in the city, if not in the historic zone, this would be an over-the-counter building permit. The reason this is going through a planning action is it's in the historic district, which does have these MPFA standards. And the intention behind that is to prevent the volume of a structure from being incompatible with the district. This application in particular has received a lot of attention because in the blurb, referred to the space downstairs as a dance studio, which is how the applicant presented it. To be clear, the conditional use permit has nothing to do with the use of the dance studio. The conditional use permit is a mechanism to allow for a departure from the MPFA standards, provided it meets all of the other guidelines. It is quite common for people to have art studios, dance studios, yoga studios on their property. What differentiates that from, say, an ADU is that it doesn't have a full set of household facilities. It's not set up to be a separate residence. The applicant made clear during our meetings that there is no intention of having any sort of commercial use take place in this location. And that it is for personal use as a basically exercise dance studio space. The tree in question was recommended by, quote, an arborist to be removed based on the proximity to the new construction, but the applicant did not provide a report from that arborist with their application.
Can I ask a question about that? It seems like this is kind of addressing a concern about commercial use. If the applicant has said, this is just for my personal use, I'm not going to be using it for commercial use, and then later on goes to use it as a commercial space, is that in any way something that the city would deal with if complaints arise?
Well, sure. There's going to be a number of conditions of approval attached to this should it be approved. And obviously because it's residentially zoned, it wouldn't be allowed to support a commercial use unless it went through a conditional use permit for that. But generally speaking, something like a dance studio would be absolutely incompatible with a residential zone. Where we would see a CUP for some sort of commercial use in the R2 zone would be more common, and you see this along on B Street, like B and 7th. There's accountants and law offices. Those sort of things that can be in, because you have to make a finding that the commercial activity will not have an adverse impact greater than the base in use of the zone.
So our approval of the removal or not of this tree has no effect whether this person can or cannot use this as a commercial property, right? We're just looking at the tree.
Correct.
Yeah.
Did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Yes.
I'm not sure if this is that if we're at that point, Chris, but I just wanted to find out if
anybody else have any more questions for Aaron. Was my only hesitation.
Well, of the material that we in our packet, there's the hand drawn sketch,
mm-hmm.
and then there's let's see, first floor, there's a kind of a contractor's blueprint. So is this the studio? That almost looks like a house.
So this is a front view, and presently, this is a carport right here.
Okay.
And that doesn't exist at all. So presently, that's just a open carport that you drive into. That doesn't exist at all. Neither does that roof line at all. And so currently, the entrance to the lower floor duplex is there. Go up here, entrance to the second story duplex. This is the new construction, and that entrance will probably be reworked based on recommendations from the Historic Commission yesterday.
Okay, so... So this exists, and this exists, but they're going to add on.
So what exists right here is just currently a carport, a flat top with poles, and
then
that's going to go...
off and then build another...
Correct.
Yeah, okay. So they're not actually increasing, like, the actual ground-level footprint of the structure.
In terms of impervious surface, no, there's not an increase in impervious surface. Because presently, where the new add-on will go... is the carport.
It's already concrete slab.
Proposed additional dimensions. So they're going to increase going out that direction to the north, it looks like. If I'm seeing that correct.
Where are you looking at? It does project a little bit to the north there,
okay.
Yes.
Towards the street. Yeah, okay.
But that's because you can see, if you're looking at that there, see how the current carport doesn't conform to that side yard setback?
Mm-hmm.
Their original intention was to literally exist exactly within that footprint, but because the carport doesn't meet the current side yard setback
of 6 feet,
they went.
Right. So they're going to make it conform for the future,
right? And so, and on the whole, it is not an increase in
square footage
of impervious.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah, okay.
So we're just here to look at the whether or not the tree should or shouldn't be removed. We're not here to look about whether they should or shouldn't be able to build this. Additional units.
Correct.
Does this one go to the Planning Commission after this?
Only if it's called up.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Hi. Feel free to, my name is Rick Peasley. My wife and I live at 840 C Street, and our rear fence approaches this house. And I prepared something, and it's the last two pages of the material. What happens is when I read the code sections here, it talks about retaining any healthy tree you can, and especially in R2 or R1 residential area. So I think you start from a premise it should be retained. That tree is an 18-inch diameter. It gives a tree canopy that covers well above even the height of the duplex and each side of it. It is 5.5 feet away from the duplex, and it is not on the property, it's not in the area where they want to add a slight addition. So in my mind, the tree can remain. Anyone who owned that house or owned the property there would want the tree. It provides shade, it provides sight, noise coming from other properties. It's a wonderful tree to have. And it's healthy. We've been living there for 7 years. Every year the tree is full of leaves. It's really nice. Now, even if you took a position that was to be removed so they could add this addition, this is an addition that is beyond the amount that is supposed to be in an R2 section. I want you to discuss the dance studio where she's a tango teacher and teaches classes all around town. But the area that's being added is more than what's permitted in an R2 section. They could take, if this was the rear of the carport, and even if they said the tree's impairing slightly, they could take off a section, a small diagonal section like that, and all of a sudden you're home free. She gets her addition and the tree remains. You could take off a section that would be like this, a little tiny rectangular section, and the problem would be resolved. There's no reason to take the tree out. Even if she wants the addition and the addition gets passed, the tree can remain. Anyone would want the tree. We would want it because it's sight, it's shade, it's beauty, and I can't see why they would want the tree out. Considering the summers that we're having now in Ashland, you want the tree coverage. And there's nothing wrong with the tree, and they make it sound like that tree is touching the duplex. It's 5.5 feet away. and it is on the side. It is not on the side where the addition is going. It's on the side of the fence for the property where the duplex is. So it seems to me, when you look at the regulations and why we want trees to remain in Ashland, specifically in R1, R2 neighborhoods, the desire would have the tree to remain there. And to take it out just because someone wants to add an addition beyond that which is permitted in an R2 zone just doesn't make sense. And even if she really wanted the addition, she could come in, modify plans slightly, minimally, just taking a little sliver, triangular shape or a little square shape out of her addition. She'd have her addition, the tree would remain. Just to come in and take the tree out makes no sense to us whatsoever.
It's, as we listen to the other people talk about invasive trees, this is not one, this is a hardwood. This is not sending off suckers or shooters, it's a healthy tree. The canopy is enormous in the summertime. It is above the duplex. It was there before the duplex. We were told when we came to talk about this that she might be willing to plant a 2-inch in diameter tree. We will be dead to get it by the time that it has any canopy at all. And I believe that this tree has been here probably longer than many people alive in this room. And to take it down and then put in a 2-inch tree, if she would even do that, I don't even know. But it just seems wrong. And I have seen many times, I know that you have too, that people build decks and they accommodate trees very nicely. And without having to take the tree out. That's it.
Yeah, if you take a look at the pictures, it's not in the way of their addition. And even if they wanted the extra safe, that little tiny cut on the addition, square over, takes care of the problem.
So, we will leave you. I have to get him home.
No, we're going to
go.
Okay.
No, that's okay. Because you're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming. Yeah. We appreciate
you. You're certainly allowed to stay for the rest of the deliberations.
Yeah.
You want to stay? Okay. Oh. You can
I had just a couple of quick questions for you. I just wanted to. Is this your house that I can see in the backyard there? It's kind of up to the back.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Chris, what kind of tree is it?
The box elder.
Box elder, yeah.
Box elder. And the benefits that it's providing for your structure specifically. Other than beauty, and
well,
it's giving you shade on your building
noise,
in the afternoon and that
noise,
kind of stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I had a question for arborists about the base of the tree and the conflict that it's having with the concrete, and whether that would affect its long term viability.
Well, what's that? I didn't feel comfortable walking down the driveway to look, so I just looked at the street. But is that
that's concrete?
And so that's lifted.
But that's what they're willing to.
But they're not.
But I think that concrete slab is probably going to go because it's not the foundation for.
It's just a walkway.
You can see here that it's just a little bit of walkway that's kind of jutting out from the back of the carport.
Not part of the new.
If that got removed, what kind of effect are we talking about on the tree?
It'd be better. It'd be
beneficial. Yeah.
So you think it would be happy in that location for a while longer?
It would take some weight off of it if it stays. But.
Yeah, I mean, there's severe, like, in weight. I don't think it's that old of a tree, you know. But, you know, box elders grow extremely fast. But I don't think, to me, it looks like it's leaning away from the proposed new building, you know, because this is going to be a new, you know, it's leaning away from that, from what I can tell. And, you know, if anything is in the way, they can just prune the branches off. You know, they're not describing it as a hazard, they're just saying.
They're not describing it as anything.
Yeah, they're just saying the application also includes the request to remove a single large tree from backyard due to its proximity to the proposed construction, which is not criteria that we're allowed at all to use to recommend a removal.
Mm-hmm. It's just a remodel, right? They're not breaking ground.
They didn't describe. There's no actual like plans or any. You know, they don't describe anything as far as you know, trenching.
With that little map that was hand-drawn, did it show the location of the tree and the footprint of the new?
It shows the location of the tree, and it's, you know,
separate.
It's pretty hand, it's a sketch.
Right. Probably need an actual architectural drawing to know whether it's going to be an issue or not.
It says on the key to the, on the key, so that's the floor plans, I think. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. There is a, oh, wait. Did I rip that page out? I don't know, I'm lost. Yeah, here it is. So the key just says dotted line that's highlighted proposed additional dimension. So it does show that it's going a little bit further, but it's no, there's no, we don't have anything to work with. Is that an inch? Is that 10 feet? We have no idea. And at this point,
in theory, each grid square on that chart is a 4 foot increment. So do you see where it says 4 feet and it has a square highlighted? Mm-hmm. So it was their attempt to draft it in a scale for what help that is.
So I guess the concern would be is if this building, new building, is brought back to not just the back edge of this structure, but further back by 4 feet, by the look of it.
Two and a half. Is that a half a grid?
You're saying if the duplex was extended back?
I just think I think like it's on the other side of the fence. Like it's not, it doesn't seem to me like there's a conflict between the new construction and the
me neither.
Tree.
If they did retrench, you know, for a better foundation underneath the carport, which they probably would because right now it's just a pad.
Yeah, they're going
so
to have to take this out, whatever they do.
So anyway, if they did cut those roots, it's still not likely to fall back on the duplex. It's more likely to fall out into the
more likely
into
to fall onto this house right here.
Or into the yard.
What's next door neighbor over there. I mean, it's reaching out all the way across this building, and if it fell that way, it'd probably fall on.
Well, I think this is the street here.
No, there's a building there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's one more building next to it.
I don't know. If they think it's a hazard or damaging something in the future, they can always come to this. But at this point, they didn't give us enough material to.
See, I think at this point, I'd like to see a more thorough application and a statement from arborist, landscaper, builder, anything. This is hand-drawn sketch and we have a clear opposition to it.
Like we make a more informed decision.
If they came here and, you know, and talked about some other facts, you know.
Yeah. Reasonable solution.
Would we want to put that in a...
Yeah, so I would move to deny the application as is due to lack of information and the official statement speaking to the criteria for removal and a more complete plan and reasons as to why they'd like to remove it.
I second that motion.
Those in favor?
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Hope you feel better soon.
Oh, no.
Oh.
It's been bad. Do not get bacteria in your blood.
Oh, jeez. Good luck.
All right. The middle school project that you got. All right. We got planning action T1-2020-00090. This is Ashland Middle School and John Muir Outdoor School at 100 Walker Avenue. Applicant is Christopher Brown and Ashland School District Number 5. This is a request for a site design review approval to make renovations and additions to the Ashland Middle School and John Muir Outdoor School located at 100 Walker Avenue. The proposal includes the creation of a new two-story sixth-grade classroom wing, the creation of an internal courtyard, a clear front entrance at Walker Avenue, and establishes a unique identity for the John Muir Outdoor School. The proposal results in a 9,964 square foot net reduction in total building floor area site and will not increase the student capacity or intensify the current use of the site. Application includes a request for a conditional use permit to modify the school district's existing master sign permit program to include new signage for both the Ashland Middle School and the John Muir Outdoor School, and the tree removal permits to remove 5 significant trees. The site currently contains more than 140 trees, 94 of which are 6 inches in diameter, breast height or greater. A total of 24 trees greater than 6 inches DBH are to be removed with the proposal, and 5 of these are deciduous trees of 12 inches or more in diameter, which are considered significant and require tree removal permits. All right, Aaron.
So Derek is the staff planner on this, and so I would ask him to come present on behalf of staff.
Yeah, I can give a quick staff report on this. While this is a fairly significant reduction in the square footage of the school, there's still a lot going on around the site with an addition, 2-story classroom addition at the rear, creation of that internal courtyard, really creating an entirely different campus and identity on site for the John Muir School, and then changing kind of accessibility and circulation on site to hopefully take some of the traffic impacts associated with the school more onto the campus than on the surrounding streetscape. In conjunction with all that, 24 trees are coming out, I believe, and 5 of those are significant and require tree removal permit.
Significant is 12 inches and greater? Is that what you're calling significant?
Yeah. I mean, the code used to say significance was 18.
Yeah.
But now it depends on if it's deciduous or conifer, and 12 inch for deciduous.
Gotcha. 24 coming out. Any new plants?
There are new, and I just don't remember a number, but the applicants and landscape architect did certainly give you
Happy party landscape architects.
We're planting somewhere close to 80 new trees.
So 24 out, 80 new, so a net gain of around 60 trees, is that correct?
Yeah, in that vicinity. Yeah, we're not, you know, we're in the middle of the planting design process. We located most of the major trees we want to plant, somewhere between 75 and 80.
And Aaron, forgive me if I was thinking about something else when you're talking about it. The only reason this is coming to us is because it's a private school versus public, because I thought school, or no, because it's 12 inches. Because I thought
school. The code says for schools that if they're significant. Okay. So in this case, over 12 inches, they require a permit.
All right, yeah. So the X's are the removals on the current landscape?
Significant.
The planting list to get going.
The planting plan is available.
Yeah, no, I was just reading preliminary plant list.
Yes.
So this is existing.
The tree.
Where's the new plant?
Preliminary
plant
list.
Oh, God.
I brought Microsoft.
Thank you.
Some ginkgos, Ferodi persicas, other than this is sabbatica, maple, jacoba,
green oak. I've added Olmus Frontier and a couple other trees as we started to build that.
So there's 5, there are 12 and... Are those 5 trees within the footprint of the?
They're actually mostly impacted by the parking lot change that we're doing to improve circulation to the site. So we're 3 of them are out just west of the main school.
2-story, 6-story building, mechanical trash.
Do we have a drawing that shows that?
Most of the trees right here. There
where
is
the 5 trees are?
Of those. The ones that are actually regulated are the 17-inch maple here at the corner of the drive. There's a 16-inch elm, a 14-inch elm, the 50-inch willow that's right now in the courtyard for the John Muir outdoor classroom, and then the 26-inch aspen.
Which is actually
that.
Dead, yeah.
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 It's an
orange
one.
Yeah.
That's in the little courtyard.
It's towards the street side of the courtyard, yes. And there's a description in a report of that tree, a terrible description.
So that courtyard's being changed, moved?
Yeah, they're. Do you want to speak
yes.
to that?
Yes. So we're reducing the what we call the existing fingers towards Walker Street. You see those subsequent wings reaching out towards Walker Street. They're in severe disrepair. And so
the structures themselves.
The structures themselves. Yeah. So in doing so, we're trying to create a uniform facade or frontage for the school. And then John Muir itself will be moving to the wing further south and relocating entirely.
Okay.
So their campus will have essentially we're recreating a new courtyard for them, and maybe Alan can speak further to that, utilizing native plantings, almost food forest type as well. They seek to populate a garden there and sort of recreate that courtyard effect. I mean, there is sentimentality with that willow. They planted it themselves, but its lifespan has been very short. It's been a fast grower, and they already understand that it likely is not going to survive the deconstruction. And I believe it was like 15 years ago.
They said 15, but yeah. That's impressive.
Yeah. 15 diameter and 15 meters.
Yeah, I don't think that's accurate.
I don't think that's accurate either. That is what they said.
Yeah,
it's
but under the current circumstances in the JMOS courtyard, with the kind of that being their space, there was a lot of tending that went on to it because those trees it's dropping all kinds of limbs.
Yeah,
and so they were up there, you know, tending it carefully, and it's not going to get that anymore. And we're also, in order to make the circulation work better, we're getting closer into it, so it's near the end of its life, useful life anyway. And they're not going to be there, okay, and not right there.
But we are hoping to recreate that environment for them to the south, and they'll have much greater exposure, ability to farm, and use that as part of their curriculum program too. Obviously, that's very important to them, being an outdoor school and nature-based, so
yeah.
That's been a big driving factor in the design.
And there's some lovely large trees at that south face too, some big elms. And I think they might be lindens. They didn't have leaves on them when I went through there. I wasn't positive what they were, but nice big trees, big canopies on them. So.
So the bus ramp is being kind of reshaped, having a little more curves to it, and then that whole planter strip with the big. Where the sweet gums or whatever, that's turning into parking.
The sweet gums are actually staying. The big sweet gums and the big locusts that are along the frontage are staying.
Okay, great. Awesome. Yeah.
We're taking out some of the many maples that are out there, which it's not like we're seeking to take them out, but we're taking out some maple trees.
Yeah, it sounded like it was a 17-inch maple, that first one you pointed out.
Yes, yeah. 17-inch red maple is number 4 on sort of the lower left of your plan.
Bus movement and how vehicular movement moved through there is a big part that drove the design of that area. It's made safer for vision clearance, movement of more people. I mean, the way schools work has changed quite a bit. We're trying to support that. And so some of these trees had to go.
Mm-hmm. Anyone that's been on Walker Avenue between 8 and 9 a.m.
Tonight,
man. Yeah, 2:30 and 3:30. It's impossible to win. We don't expect to come out victorious in this situation. We're just hoping to mitigate some of the stress and conflict. I mean, right now people are stacked 3 deep in that parking lot. It's extending out into the street. So really, we're
increasing the loading capacity of cars in that area by over 200%.
So maybe a reduction in idling time.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aggravated parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get pretty bogged down mentally with like projects this big as far as keeping track of this and that and this and that. You know, if there is like room to possibly save a tree, and if it does die, then take it out. But it sounds like you guys are a net gain as far as trees.
Yes.
So I think that's awesome. And there's really only 5 that we're have any say over. So I'm fine with approving the application.
Sounds like a motion. Yeah.
You have any feelings, Russell?
No, I was just looking at the drawing and number 4. I was thinking. Possibly could be saved just by moving that driveway exit.
Of the bus ramp?
Yeah, part of that, I have a few changes. The part
per amount of people expected at one time or something?
It's per the square footage of the public assembly space that the school already has, and so we need to maintain the same amount of parking spaces, but increase the loading capacity of the drop-off zone.
This layout is such an improvement on the current layout of the parking area, which requires you actually to go around twice if you get into a certain section. You have to, so it increases risk to students, and yeah, so I applaud the redesign of the parking area. It's a lot more functional.
What are all those trees in the back? In the back of the school to the east. Are those like plums or something?
76 through 80?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of pears. There's a sheet that has all those. What are the numbers?
Just all of them and all.
76 through 80.
Pears. A bunch of pears.
Pears. Yeah.
And then the 80s are ashes. It's like somebody went in waves around there. There were Raywood ashes and red maples and then
pears.
Red maples and pears and then red oaks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very strange planting.
Hornbeams and pears. Hornbeam.
Yeah, I really like the idea of a food forest. So, I'd say more food the better.
Yeah, it's an exciting prospect.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I make a motion to approve as submitted.
Second?
Second. Those in favor?
All right. Thanks very much.
Have fun.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for coming in.
I'm out for the rest of the meeting.
For the rest of the evening? What about Hersey?
Oh,
we do Hersey.
Let's do Hersey.
Or, unless, I mean, do you want to leave early?
No, I just meant the rest of the, I want to talk about the PD here. So.
Well, I was thinking, because, yeah, if you did want to leave early, we could save all yours for the end. But then, yeah, then there's Treaty.
Treaty, yeah.
That's why
I
mean,
I feel like that'd be a cop out for me to leave early.
I agree.
Or read in the corner. So I'm sorry. So yeah.
So then what was? I think you just gave it to us tonight.
Do Hersey?
You want to do Hersey first, and then come back to Allison?
You can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Stagger your breaks.
What's the other?
How are you guys going to do it?
So I have to recuse myself from 461 Allison.
Uh-huh. And 309 Pioneer.
309 Pioneer and the one tree.
On First Street?
Yeah.
I could not find that one on First Street. And I went in the co-op and I asked them. Nobody knew what the hell I was talking about. And there was no sign anywhere.
I should have flagged it. Well,
I found the Zalcova on Pioneer, but I couldn't find the main one on First Street.
Just around the corner from that, kind of by where Dushot used to be?
Yeah,
But that's B Street.
You think?
Yeah, I think so.
But I guess
it says First Street. It says 237 First Street is the address.
Well, maybe that huge lot.
Well,
you know, like when it was Twin Pines.
Technically, owned.
I guess that's the street.
That's why that First Street
or whatever it was. It could have been First.
That's what.
Okay.
Google Maps.
I couldn't find it. Didn't see it.
I got some pictures. Well, I should be talking about it. Sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
We're doing Hersey.
Let's do Hersey.
Okay. I feel like all my papers.
I don't have any.
Yeah.
I didn't realize our packets are not online. Just because I forgot my packet.
That is not true. The packets online.
They are.
Yeah. It's a little tricky to get to because you have to click on the agenda and then there's a link from there to get the packet. But the packet's online.
And you linked it.
Yeah.
Well, totally, and I clicked that, and then I saw the agenda, just the short description.
Yeah,
but I didn't see like what you're saying.
So you have to go to the agenda, and from the agenda, then there's a link to the packet.
Yeah.
Okay. And the PDF has.
All right. I call the order planning action 2020-00102. This is at 280 East Hersey. think I have the. I have the blurb, I'm not seeing it.
That's fine. I'll just go ahead and present it on my behalf. This is the reason this missed your packet is the request came in late after the packet materials had already been put together. It's an 8-inch tree that basically is directly on top of a 4-inch sewer line that has evidence of root intrusion. Roto-Rooter came out, did the camera through it. They first ran whatever they ran through the main to clear it. And then they put the camera down. There's evidence of root intrusion at the right mark where they knew that it was that tree. The bigger problem is that that sewer line has a dip in it where it's not falling at a constant rate. Mm-hmm. And so that's causing backup to happen. Mm-hmm. And the only way to repair that sewer line is to literally excavate a good section of it and make sure it all lies properly. And with the evidence of the root intrusion, I mean, they basically have to go right down. There was a photo in here that showed the locate line.
Mm-hmm. Of the sewer. Is that white line?
Yeah, it didn't show it very well in the packet, but white line is the imaginary line where the sewer line is about 4.5 feet below it. Yeah. And then you'll see, it's not a very good photo again, but this is the camera footage of the root intrusion in that pipe.
It's 4.5 feet deep?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what they said. I'm just taking that from Roto-Rooter's word, though. Yeah. Do you think that's too deep for that root to be getting down there?
Or is it 4.5 feet from the cleanout? Like, is it a horizontal 4.5? Like, 4.5 feet deep in the pipe?
No. So it was
actually 4.5 feet
deep. It was 22 feet in from the camera, but the report said it was 4 feet down from the grade.
That's deep.
So
going
for the water.
You
must smell the water.
What, is this a plum?
I think it's like a white pomegranate plum. It's a really big,
it's also just
tree.
About to blossom, too.
Yeah.
This is one where I wouldn't mind if there's a chance to just kind of delay it until after flowering.
But I think it naturally is. It's about a month, right?
So even if you make a recommendation to remove, I won't have findings drafted until the end of next week. Then there's a 2-week appeal window. So even if I'm Johnny on the spot, it's 3 weeks before they have permission to remove it.
Okay. So I think by then it would be ground flowering. Or at the end. Yeah. And if it starts raining, then yeah.
So not like.
But I like you thinking of that aspect. I think it's a really awesome tree. Plums grow pretty fast. It's definitely bigger than 8 inches, from what I remember. I'd say closer to 10 or 11. And I don't know. I mean, they could ditch witch it and see if the tree survives. And if it doesn't, then pluck it out.
They could what?
Trench it, excavate. They could ditch witch. They could expose that sewer line. I'm just thinking of.
You saw where the locate was, right?
Yeah, right through the base, right through the roots. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Not going to survive that unless all its roots are on the other side of the tree.
Fingers. Anyway.
Won't it then return to be another problem, though?
Cut it at the base and then it's brought back. Five new locates.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
I mean, it's pretty bare. Yeah,
not many trees on that lot.
Super exposed.
It would be nice to get a replacement because that place is a tree desert.
Yeah,
mitigation required. Yes,
metal roof.
Mitigation required.
There is a lot of other stuff going on there. I mean, there's a fire hydrant. There's electrical boxes. I mean, it's possible. Even if this whole sewer thing wasn't an issue, it's possible that. Eventually, it can be around. So, there's a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah, there is.
Maybe if they replanted like somewhere more like up here, away from all of that stuff. You know, if they planted a new tree.
Although at some point, you know, there's I think that's a parking lot. Like,
well, it's like it goes into the other driveway kind of area here, but if they.
But I think it'd almost be more like marooned out there on the end.
Mm.
But I mean, there's lots of skinny little planting strips with awesome trees, so, yeah. Did you check it out, Russell?
No, I didn't check out that one.
Well, if I was living there, I wouldn't want my sewer back up. So.
No. And I happen to know that it's Ashland Children's Theater that used that building, and it's really sad, sad, sad. And also the Near Dance Studio, there's all kinds of heavy usage on that building. There's like the ecstatic dance groups.
Yeah.
And man, if that toilet goes out, you are done and dusted. It's a heavy use toilet. They need their toilet. Yeah. I make a motion to approve and replace.
A second. All those in favor?
Second.
Nice. The only bit.
Cool. Done and dusted.
Hey, so you're going to handle chair?
Yeah, unless you want to, Kat.
No.
All right, okay. Oh, what would you guys like to do first?
I got Alice to up my screen.
Perfect. Okay. Plan action 2020, number 98. 461 Allison Street, owner Gersten Family Trust, applicant Marcy and Joel Gersten. Description: this tree is a
tree.
This is a tree removal application to enable a large landscape redesign at 461 Allison. The applicant is working with the landscape architect Fiber Bond Chamber of
Terrain.
Landscape architecture and Chris John from Canopy LLC. The application lists a total of 14 trees to be removed, but for the purpose of clarity, we will only address those that are above 6 inches of DBH. The request includes the removal of 4 cherry measuring 8 inches or close to 8 inches, and 1 with 2 liters, 8 inches and 10 inches. 4 willows below 24 inches in diameter. 1 19-inch Leland cypress. A 7-inch oak, a 6.5-inch golden chain. In general, many of these trees are described as having bad form based on previous pruning and topping. The project arborist states that the removal of these trees will not have a significant impact on erosion, soil stability, flow of surface waters, and protection of adjacent trees. The loss of the will have an effect, a negative impact on species diversity, but when considering the hazardous nature of the trees, their poor form, and conflict with the fence, the project arborist recommends the removal. Chris is recusing himself.
So, yeah, I mean, all I would add, I mean, as usual, I fit most of it into the blurb. I draw your attention to sheets L11 and L10. It's a large R2 lot. The way the code reads is that if this lot was smaller, such that it couldn't have future development, many of these would be exempt. But based on the zoning and the size of the lot and the fact that future development is possible, it's before you. They're clearly just wanting to do a wholesale re-landscaping of their backyard. They presented a nice planting plan, but at the sacrifice of all of those trees that were listed.
And the house currently exists. They're not building a new one.
Correct. Yeah, existing house.
Okay. So I had a question about that. Someone, obviously, you know, if we approve someone doing like a re-landscaping plan and we see them, they're going to put in a lot of new trees, that's awesome, and we think that's great, and we say, yeah, go ahead and you can remove. Yeah, we might not approve removal of those trees, but since you're planting all these other ones, that's great. What happens if in a year's time they like yoink all those 2-inch diameter replants out and decide to divide and
So it's actually a good question because it's a tricky one.
Yeah.
The landscaping.
Good way to get around.
Landscaping is not part of a planning action. It's something that they want to do, and it is before you as the rationale for these removals.
Yeah.
And what's before you is just the request for those removals. And you're right, there is no guarantee that if you approve all these trees to be removed, that they don't go, gosh, redoing that landscaping seems awfully expensive, let's just leave it like it is. Mm-hmm. You're right, there wouldn't...
Well, but why does we have to review it? It's their property.
Because of the size of the property and
because
the zoning.
Because they can subdivide.
Oh.
If there was, say, you know, a few beautiful giant sequoias in that backyard and they wanted to chop them down and subdivide and sell it, we might say, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we would.
I don't know.
I mean, what really would be our criteria for saying no on a potential subdivision on tree removal?
Wait, I'm sorry. Ask your question again.
Like, someone wants to subdivide, mm-hmm. and they also have to remove all these trees first, so they have to get our permission.
Mm-hmm.
On what case would we ever say no?
If it's on a slope and it's deemed to compromise stability.
So most of the subdivision applications that we see in Ashland are under what's called our performance standards options chapter.
Uh-huh.
You have a subdivision chapter that's simpler than that. It's basically a cookie-cutter subdivision. You come in and make a lot that meets the dimensions, and you're approved. Performance standard gives the applicants a lot more flexibility in how they design the lots, how they place houses in terms of setbacks and those things, and lot coverage, and how the standards apply. And probably, I would say, 85, 90% of our applications come in under performance standards. One of the preliminary criteria in a performance standard subdivision is that you identify all the natural features and that you protect any significant natural features in unbuildable areas on the lot, so common area or outside of building envelope. So there is a lot of potential to look at significant natural features like trees. Where the ordinance changed recently to say that a lot with development potential is regulated is because a lot of times we would have people that would come in and clear cut their lot right before they made application for the criteria are protect all those significant natural features because it was exempt from review until they had a subdivision application in play.
But so would we really be able to protect those trees even if they go through?
If it was a subdivision application, yeah.
Only on the unbuildable areas.
To be honest, if it was a site review application, there is a standard that says protect as many of the healthy trees on the property as possible, which is what the neighbor was referencing earlier in that one. So, I mean, it's not something that we necessarily do a lot on site review because a lot of times site review is predicated upon an addition to an existing structure versus saying that you're going to put your dance studio in a shed at the back property line.
But we would never prevent someone from developing their property because we thought there was some nice trees in their backyard that was right where they wanted to put it, right?
I can't think of an example where that's happened, but yeah, we could.
Say, oh no.
And I mean, we've had subdivision applications where people come in and show, especially come in at the pre-op and say, we're going to cut all these trees, and we tell them they need to take a much closer look at it because significant natural features need to be preserved, and we go out with the planning commission typically on a larger application and actually walk the site with planning commission. And I mean, they have to make a strong case to take out significant trees.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think that big silver maple at SOU, I mean, that was one of the pre-application that we were concerned they might remove, and we took a really strong stance that needed to be kept, and it's now a heritage tree.
Right. So they had to design
and that was something that came up through the planning process of the pre-application to say, whatever you're doing, you really need to think about saving this tree because it doesn't stand out on site.
Well, from an arborist standpoint.
Yeah. I mean, a lot happens at the pre-application that you guys don't realize.
Yeah.
So you're thinking about everything that comes to you,
yeah.
But there's so much weeding out that's happening at the pre-application level.
Yeah, well, it seems to me like the times where it has come in, where trees are definitely going to have to get removed, and they've already gone through that process, that there's no reason, we don't really have a say over whether they get to build that building or not. It's, they've already gone through that.
Very often by the time it comes through the process,
we've
already been fighting with them.
And we just have recommended tree protection plans.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Where
we are.
Any of these trees that are existing, do you think any of them are worth saving? They don't really look that great to me.
This was the one property that I didn't go to.
I was
a little concerned that I wouldn't be able to see them.
You could go in the backyard, actually. I just went in.
Well, I knocked on the front door and I asked.
I called out
as I was coming into the backyard. I mean, there was no way to see it if I didn't. Like, is that to have trespassing?
Yeah, it is.
Sorry.
That is.
Anyway, I got the photos of their backyard if anyone wants
to. It's a good thing they didn't put the Dobermans out on you.
Sometimes they let the community development know, hey, it's fine if, right?
There are times that applicants do make that clear, but generally speaking, we should avoid trespassing when making site visits.
Yeah. Casey, he was a tree commissioner. He was like, yeah, we need, like, hats and Glocks. Be a real official.
Right, I was a little nervous there might have been a dog back there, but it really looks like the house is unoccupied to me. It doesn't look like there's anyone even living there.
Possible.
All the blinds are drawn. And
so this might be development.
Well, that's what kind of made me think, it's in a trust. There's no one living there.
Well, they spent an awful lot of money on designing a new landscape plan phony that up.
Yeah, I know. That's why I was kind of like, that seems like a weird approach. But okay.
having said that, I didn't visit. I would base my observation of the trees based off the pictures and the arborist description.
Mind if I just
sounds like from the arborist description?
Yeah, the trees don't.
A lot of them are
that
pretty
great.
Shabby.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, for instance, the Willows Volunteer, I think keeping. I like volunteer willows, you know. Ashland's got a lot of water where we don't, like, drain it away. So, but I didn't see it, so it sounds like it's close to a fence.
Well, there's this cute one right in the corner. I wish they would be able to keep that one. The, looks... And this is the fence line looking back toward that corner. Those three trees are pretty stocky, but there was another one that was just like this, basically a stump with sprouts coming out the top of it, which
it's got a style,
the Whomping Willow, but yeah, it was only really those ones in the corner that I thought, man, that looks like a really happy bird area for lots of nesting birds, but I didn't see any nests up there at that time.
Yeah, and, you know, like, Russ brings up a good point. It's like, who are we to tell someone what they can and can't do on their own property?
Right. They've got new
sort
trees,
of like, these trees aren't in the public.
No, but know. I mean, and they aren't significant trees.
If this property was zoned to R110, they'd all be exempt.
Yeah.
It's
so, like a nice backyard. Great view.
Was any of the... How do the trees line up with what they want to do? Are any of the trees, could they leave any of the trees?
Well, see, they've got a new path coming in this corner right here.
From
I'm wondering
alley.
If they're bringing that. Are they creating that new parking area? Is that what's going on? They're creating extra additional parking in the back, like bringing their fence line?
Yeah, that's my understanding.
So they're bringing their fence so that it's coming back to, like, about here.
Sheets.
So this is actually going to be new parking. So they're creating parking for themselves in the alley,
right.
Basically. So
for the, could it be an Airbnb at some point? I don't know.
Could what be an Airbnb?
The house. I don't know.
Because
you say if it was R1, they'd all be gone. What is it zoned?
So this is zoned R2.
R2.
And if they received a conditional use permit, it's highly likely they could do an Airbnb. It's unlikely. Because while you can do an Airbnb where you rent out a room, there's only one dwelling on this property. And most people who want to do Airbnbs want to rent out the entirety of a structure. So, because a lot of people don't want to have to share that space where it's like, yeah, I'll be my master bedroom and you got the room down the hallway. I think it would be unlikely that this property would develop in that manner.
I like this, like, symmetrical.
Yeah, yeah, it's very lovely, design kind of classical.
Design is fine.
Classical. It's going to be an extraordinarily beautiful place to sit and have dinner and just look right up to Grizzly Peak.
Right.
There. Is this a hedge here along the fence? Espalier fruit on the fence. That's
okay, this
cool.
is aimed north. What would they see?
So, looking out there. This way, they're looking at...
Did they look
like,
over
I-5? Basically, yeah. The library's right here.
No, but
in
I
the
mean
back
in
alley.
That direction.
Yeah.
So there are mountains and...
Oh, yeah, it's a beautiful view, and there's yeah. no buildings back there. It's just
right.
kind of... Yeah.
Yeah, again...
Well,
their
we don't know what their plans really are.
Yeah.
Not our circus, not our monkey.
True. We just have to concern ourselves with the trees.
And it doesn't look like any of the trees that are worth saving really could be saved with that design, so...
Not our surface, not our monkey, is that what you said?
Circus.
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 Yeah.
Not my circus, not
yeah.
my monkey.
There's another one my buddy taught me. Not my piano, not my problem.
Okay.
You know, you
I like the circus
you know.
Better.
All right.
You want to make a motion?
Yes.
Or do
yeah, no, I'm fine
we
with
approve that,
that
yep. we approve the submission.
Yep.
Motion.
I second.
Third. All in favor.
Okay, moving on to.
Let's do the one on Pioneer, the Zalcova.
309 Pioneer Street. Planning action 2020-100. Subject property 309 Pioneer Street. Do you guys want me to read the blurb about it?
No.
I'm more than happy. I can summarize
yeah.
it for you.
Yeah, go for it.
It's a Zalcova in poor health.
Yeah.
There's evidence of crown dieback and bark on the north side flaking away. There's an arborist report from Canopy speaking to it, and they recommend removal and replacement based on the health of the tree.
Yeah, I wonder what happened to that tree.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like someone backed into it.
Or a car
I bet door. Someone backed into it.
Maybe, yeah, because there is.
Really?
It's pretty nice. It's, don't
yeah.
you think?
Yeah.
Maybe early on. Or something happened with the root system, maybe a little bit of compaction.
I'm not an arborist. I mean, what the hell do
yeah.
I know? That was just my theory on looking
yeah.
at it. It was in the strike zone of a driveway.
Well, and it's away from the sun, so it's not sunburn. You know,
okay.
It looks like a mechanical injury or some kind of
yeah.
vein dieback from the roots at
right.
some point. But the canopy of the tree is like, it's really awesomely formed. It's
it
a beautiful tree.
Did it look like it was in a sprout to me?
Yeah, it used to be.
But
like
the
like
arbor,
waking up.
The arborist
yeah.
says
yeah.
that the tree, the
yeah,
top, is not good.
But yeah, it's definitely diseased. I mean, I would be worried about it if it was my tree.
Well, and even if it was left to grow, I think there would be bigger problems down the line when it becomes a massive cavity, because I don't think it's
yeah.
going to seal over quick enough.
Yeah.
And so...
Is the bark healing around it?
No.
I didn't see...
It looked like it was peeling off. We got a good close-up photo of it that you can zoom into if you want.
Which is another thing I think it could...
Yeah,
be.
No, there's healing on that, on the cambium, along the edge.
What do you think about the wood... At the core, though, it's all cracked. Is that normal?
No, but that,
yeah,
that can be...
The round kind of rind, that's all.
You can
all
get a tree surgeon in there.
But, like, this looks like...
It's just wood.
Is that just what it looks like? All those cracks are normal?
The only part of a tree that's alive is about...
Is that,
in
is that curling lip around the edge.
So once that internal wood's exposed, it's just like lumber, essentially.
Right.
So
it's just support.
It'll look like old.
But look
fence.
At that, like... Where it's coming up off that
yeah,
branch.
All of
there.
That is very healthy, good stuff.
That stuff, but what about there? It looks like the disease is heading up that branch. No,
well, there's damage there, but again, you know, this tree has healed a lot. I wonder what it's going through.
Is it currently a hazard?
No, but you know,
the arborist
is a high risk area.
The arborist report didn't make any mention of it being a hazard.
It's like someone hacked right,
but
it or something.
Yes.
Like a dog chain
rolling then,
back and forth.
And then ripped it down.
Or maybe a heavy snow load.
Nah, not snow load. I think someone pruned that and
with
ripped,
the weight of their
ripped
body.
It and, you know, left that damage. Mm-hmm. And the tree's trying to overcome it. But no, I think the tree's days are numbered, but it's certainly made an effort.
Can we have a prognosis? What are we talking, like 5 years, 10 years?
I think it can live a long time, but it would continue to decline
exactly
in looks and
better to get
longevity,
a new tree in there and just get a
new start.
It's nice having you guys with colored pictures.
Yeah, I find that.
Your pictures are good.
Black and white.
And you can really zoom in on.
Yeah, your camera's good.
Yeah, I mean, even like you look up here, look at how that bark is peeling away from the trunk. Did you see that?
Okay. I make a motion to approve the application as submitted, and with the replacement tree of the...
Same thing?
Of the...
It's got a
match. Another Zelkova?
I don't know. I mean, is that our... I don't think it's that significant of a tree to necessitate replacing the same thing.
But you have to require mitigation unless you're finding that it's a hazard. If it's a tree that is not a hazard and the arborist makes no statement that it is...
It has to be
replaced. It has to be replaced.
Yeah. So...
With a healthy one.
Another Zelkova.
Yes, with a healthy. I make a motion to approve the application as submitted with the recommendation that the tree be mitigated with another Zelkova.
Second.
All in favor. I'm sorry, it's your job.
Yeah, all yeses. I think you'd be a really good chair, just so you know. Yeah. If you ever want to take that position, go for it.
Taking the position of a chair.
Okay, moving on to...
Post Street, which I didn't see at all. I have no opinion on it.
Moving on to... There's no Type 2 reviews, street tree removal permits. Planning action 2020, number 99, subject property 237 North First Street. Owner, Ashton Food Co-op. Applicant Charles Papella and Canopy. It's a 12-foot tall, 4.75-inch wide maple with rot at the base.
It was described that it's so unstable that you could knock it over with your hand. If it was a larger tree, it would probably be a hazard just because of that. But, I mean, based on its size.
Yeah.
Because it's a street tree, any size, it rises to our level. And while the address was on A, I think you guys already discussed this, this tree was located along the A frontage there, right where it makes that little S-curve.
Right.
It's not an especially attractive tree, and it's...
Yeah, why does it have an irrigation thing coming right out of this?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
it's probably like, why it's got root rot.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's why it rotted.
The landscaper didn't...
Should
we just make a motion to approve and reply? Skip the 10 minutes
of agonizing.
Yeah. Well, I didn't try to push it over. But
no.
But I
wonder. Why not?
That's an automatic approval, by the way.
Could it seal itself over and keep going? I think it's... If it is pushing, I think the fact that the irrigation that close is probably meaning the roots haven't gone that far. There's a lot of decay. You know, was it a weed whacker, some shovel? What caused that mechanical injury? I don't know. So, it's a pretty small tree, 4.5 inches wide.
Well, go ahead. Make your move there.
If we did approve the removal, what would you guys want to see as far as a replacement tree? Because it's a street tree. It's a public tree.
Yeah. All right.
It shades the sidewalk.
One of the Armstrong maples.
Armstrong maples. How would that do
beautiful
with the heat of the road?
Beautiful fall color.
Yeah. Do you think that would do fine with the heat of the road there?
Mm.
It would be morning heat and midday heat, and then... I think the tree would be kind of in the shade in the late afternoon, maybe.
Well, that would be
maybe
good.
It'd still be in the sun.
That would be good.
I think it seems like it would be a lot of heat for that.
Is it in front of where Duchat's was or in the wonky bit?
It's in the wonky bit.
It's in the wonky bit.
Okay.
It's the drift course.
So it's going to get...
It's got a lot of sun.
Well, but it's because the co-op building is to the south of it.
Yeah.
In the later months, it actually gets a significant amount of shade from the co-op building itself.
The... the metal barn thing?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So it might have afternoon protection from the really west feed.
How would you guys feel about recommendation of an Armstrong Maple or the choice of their arborist or of landscape?
A species suitable for that location.
Yeah.
Preferably pretty and deciduous.
Okay.
Yeah.
Using technical
sounds like a motion.
Language. I make a motion to approve and replace with a suitable species for the location, preferably with good fall foliage.
Second.
All in favor?
All yeses.
That's
good. I think it's good because sometimes we all just raise our hand, but no one says anything.
Right.
And Aaron's typing, so it's like, how does he know? Because one of us might be like, nah, I don't know.
Yeah.
He's got peripheral vision.
Write the minute before you guys actually discuss.
He just actually makes all the decisions. We don't even know if.
Yeah, we never speak of.
Or like write three different outcomes.
Minutes the following month, right?
Yeah.
Or like write three different outcomes, like choose your own story. And
that's
then like
why
clicks
I read
whatever.
Through those 80 pages that you sent me, actually. Was
I hope you did.
Welcome back,
Chris. All right.
Now.
So excited about this, I can't even contain myself, guys.
17 nominations.
This is
awesome.
One of the best things the Tree Commission does, though.
Thank you.
See, I handed them all out and I didn't end up with one. Did one more?
What do you attribute other nominations to? It seems like it was really.
So, being my first year doing this. See you, Kay.
Have fun picking the best tree. Yeah.
No. We're only picking the nominees.
Yeah.
We have the city to vote after we have winnowed it down to an appropriate set of finalists.
We get to vote as a citizen?
Yeah.
Go, my gosh.
The voting will be online hopefully within a week.
It gets really heated.
Well, if you guys want to like pressure the vote, just like let me know which one you
all
like
right.
best.
Get all the firefighters on board.
Yeah, totally. Have a good one, you guys.
See you, Katie.
Wow,
there was
like
one that I had my friend nominate, Dot Fisher-Smith nominated one, which was the one down on Nevada, which you couldn't locate.
I couldn't.
It's actually on the floodplain there.
To the north of Nevada?
No, I'd say probably south.
Okay.
So the creek's running, like here, I'm standing on Nevada Street looking toward the floodplain.
Yeah.
The creek's coming down this way. If you walk onto that floodplain, just maybe...
It's a big walnut?
Yeah, huge walnut.
That's a cool tree. It's a city park tree.
Okay.
Part of the ash and the greenhouses, though?
Oh, you're right. That is parkland.
Yeah. Right behind the lawyer, Jarvis. Bill Jarvis, yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful tree.
I think you guys pruned it.
No, it's the land just to the south.
Did you work on that one within the last year?
Which one was
on East Nevada
walnut.
On that greenway?
It's got some wooden steps nailed into the side of it.
So.
Picnic bench underneath.
What divides East Nevada and West Nevada?
The lack of a bridge.
Yeah.
The lack of a sense of direction.
East Nevada is off Mountain Street versus West Nevada is off Oak.
So originally, I think the plan was that it was supposed to connect across that.
Council was going to build a bridge a couple
they're
years
do,
ago, I think, but the neighbors came out against it, and so it's...
Are they still going to do a bike path across that, though, that connects to
bridge.
Mountain?
Yeah.
Footbridge?
That would be awesome.
That
greenway is eventually going to happen,
right.
Yes.
Yeah.
A footbridge would be a major benefit to the pedestrian community of Ashland.
Huge, yeah.
I mean, then you don't have to go all the way up to Hersey and all the way over... But I can see the neighbors being like, I don't want a bunch of people walking next to my house.
Well, that's what everyone else has to put up with, so suck it up, right?
Yeah.
We're in Ashland.
So I'm going to narrow it down to 8. I was sitting out there going through them all. Went from 10 to 8, so I didn't do a great job.
Okay.
There's a lot of good trees.
There's some good ones in there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how you guys want to handle this. I'm sort of leaving it to
you. Do we have to narrow it down?
You know, so, this is a process that really doesn't have codification. If you wanted to put all of these up to a vote, we could certainly do that. It would need a little more time for GIS to put it up, because we typically have done the voting through a GIS web app. Last year, they were reduced to 4 finalists. Do you recall previous years, how many finalists there?
I mean, I think we've tried to narrow it down to a more manageable list. But, yeah, I don't think there's anything that says you have to, if you felt that 8 or whatever.
If there's much interest, I mean, it might just encourage more engagement, right?
Well, it feels like there's a couple that, I mean, maybe if not to winnow it down to 4, perhaps at least we could identify the ones that we know certainly shouldn't be nominees.
Or like that one won't, for example. Because I think all these deserve being nominees, but maybe not like a guaranteed winner. You know, like the one that I nominated, or was I...
That looks like it's about...
On Park Street.
20 feet tall?
It's a Lancelota Cunninghamia. It's like a China redwood something. Mm. It's a really cool tree. Yeah,
that China fir?
Yeah, the one in the backyard.
Yeah, is that what it's called? A China fir?
Yeah,
it looks like it was topped. It's related to giant sequoia.
Right.
And so it looks like it was cut down and then it sprouted with all these other trees.
Well, I'm not sure. Seems to me that I saw a documentary somewhere in the past where it was in China and they showed a grove of these and they all seem to be multi-stem.
Really?
So I don't know what causes that or whatever. I also planted one in my yard.
Awesome.
It's trying to multi-stem on its own.
Yeah. Well, redwoods do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and boy, is it pricky.
Yeah, how big do they get?
Pricky?
I mean, it's about 25 feet tall.
It's not soft. It's very, it's like a monkey.
And I planted it, let's see, and it was about 3 feet when I planted it. And it's only 8 years old, I think. It's grown like crazy.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'd like to see it, because the other one next to the Noble in the alleyway got cut down.
Mm.
Oh. But anyway, that's a potential tree that wouldn't necessarily be a guaranteed winner. So if we did want to make it smaller,
I think it's a unique species is called, probably not a wow.
People probably wouldn't be like, wow. Yeah, but
yeah,
I nominated it because, yeah, it's a unique species.
But I'm pretty sure the one on B Street is a silver maple. I'm not
I didn't think it was an oak at all.
I think we pruned it, actually.
Port Orford Cedar on Union Street.
It's a cool tree. It doesn't, size wise, it doesn't quite stack up, but being a Port Orford Cedar, being alive, is cool. But I had to not on my cut list.
Is that, so Union, that's
kind of up off of Gresham?
Yeah, go down Gresham, the block two.
So it's if you cross from Safeway, across this view, and go up to Allison, hook right. Union's the next street down.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So it is a big one. And it is kind of unique because they're all dying off.
I think it's...
Or no one's...
I think it's more than 40 feet tall, but it's definitely not 20 feet wide. Please,
oh, yeah, wow. Interesting.
It's maybe
30
inches.
Maybe they were thinking about the canopy.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yep.
And I probably shouldn't comment on the Monterey Cypress since I nominated it.
That one. That's a neat tree.
With that big, with that big damage on it?
Yeah. Why are there so many nominees?
Well, I am responsible for 3 of these, having directly getting my friends to nominate some trees.
If they're awesome trees, be like, hey, if you care about your tree, it doesn't guarantee protection, but it's just kind of like, check how cool my tree is.
I said this is just like a way to recognize
Who topped this walnut?
I do love that large oak at the top of Church Street. I've admired it for many years. That definitely should be a candidate, although I think it's been nominated a few times.
It may have been nominated, but I don't think it was Tree of the
Deadwood cut out.
And this one was nominated last year.
Yeah, that
happened. Oh, it had it cleaned up?
That's that.
That has such bad form, though.
Yeah, because they're really big stumps.
I mean, I understand.
You walked underneath it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I appreciate that uniqueness. But, I mean, it's not exactly a good specimen.
I think it's a cool tree. I've seen that since I was a kid, and I think that's a cool
tree. I think it's, it's like a landmark tree.
I think we should go tree by tree so we're all the same.
Yeah, okay. Should we do like a...
Monterey.
So, yeah, how... Okay, so Port Orford, in or out? We can do this iteratively, so, like, you know...
Yeah. Through a couple times.
How many do we have?
There's 15 in this stack, I think.
And we're trying to get it down to 10? But the list you sent,
1, 2... There's 17? 8, 9, 10.
Somebody know I had 11 on that email you sent, but...
17 nominations total. One nomination was duplicated. One was disqualified. Two was unable to locate. That's why.
Okay.
So there you go. Yeah.
Okay.
Flicking through, looking at the ones that are obvious to me that I would suggest would be the Madrone and the Ocon Sutton.
How about we just do an initial pass, like everyone had to take a show of hands, tree by tree.
Okay. Porter for C or yay or nay? Yay. Let's
start with yays.
Is a yay yes? Yay is yes.
Okay. Is the initial round. No.
They should be nominated.
An I is yes, it stays on the list, makes the cut. An A is a no.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, it stays on the list.
I'm going to say yay on that one.
Okay.
We've got two yays, and I would go either way on that one. So let's put it in the yes column.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Sounds good.
Monterey Cypress. Yeah.
I should have said.
No.
Yeah. Okay, they got three, though.
All right.
Yeah.
Moving on. The Black Oak, absolutely.
Gorgeous. Definitely. Top of Church. Yep.
Okay.
The Oak Maple on B Street.
Isn't that just recently lost a limb and stuff?
It barfed some big limbs, and we gave it a haircut last summer.
It's pretty cool. It looks like the Angry Orchard cider, the gnarly.
That trunk is cool, and somebody could easily make a case to remove it. It was cool. She wanted to keep it.
It sounds like a yeah from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, okay. Sorry.
For now.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's pine.
Ponderous on pine. I'm a yay on that.
I say yay. The Deodar.
That's so beautiful. Hasn't that one tree of the year before?
They can't.
The cedar?
The Deodar cedar, yeah. Is that on Siskiyou?
That's on Siskiyou at Harrison, yeah. I don't believe it's been tree of the year before.
Really?
Let me check my map that I sent you guys. It'll take me a few seconds.
And trees have won multiple years before, I think.
No.
Never?
No.
Don't think so.
Really?
No, I didn't drive by this one, but there's a lot of nice big Deodars. Is this one unique in some way?
It's pretty, let's see,
I just gave him a thought maybe you did.
No. It doesn't, wait, my name, Cody Cop.
Anybody, do we have enough information to get in this one?
Which one, are we still on the...
They had our cedar. We're going to skip the pine for a minute. Is that what we're doing? Skipping the pine.
I think we said yes.
I heard everyone say yes to the pine.
Yes to the pine. Yeah.
And that has not been a nominee.
The cedar, you mean?
Correct.
Yeah.
There was a Deodar. How do you say that?
At Safeway
across the street.
The grove of them,
Oh, it's across the street. Oh, yeah. I know the one you
talking about.
It is a cool tree.
Yeah.
It's got super little limbs.
Yay or nay,
I say yes for now, yeah.
On which one?
The cedar.
The cedar.
Yep.
We're just cutting these right and left.
Yep.
The walnut.
No walnut.
No in the walnut.
48 diameter Siskiyou parking lot. Siskiyou parking lot.
Oh, that's the one by the church.
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm a yay. No. I think it was.
It was pruned back heavily at one point.
Yeah. Not a
but
natural
it's big,
tree.
40
if I was looking
inches.
At with its foliage on, I might have different feelings. Right now, I'm not crazy about its trunks.
I would rather the walnut versus the maple on B.
Really?
Seriously?
Really? Yeah.
What?
Have you walked past that trunk on B?
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome. But still, big walnut is awesome.
Yeah,
this produces food.
We sound like we're split on this one.
Okay, we'll keep it in for now. This is just our first pass.
We haven't eliminated anything
I know,
yet.
I know.
China fir.
You're consulting with a bunch of tree lovers.
Like I said, I really like the species, but I'm totally willing to say no on this.
I'm gonna go nay, Sue.
Sorry, it's just. I'm sure it's a cool species, but it's not visually
impressive. Go check it out. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's big oak on
North Mountain.
This got two nominations for what it's worth, by the way. This is the tree that got two different nominations.
I'm a yay.
This is the 192 North Mountain.
I would say we compare this with the one at the top of Church and decide which one we want, because they're both beautiful oaks.
Yeah,
you want to leave them both? All right.
The Roman Church has been pruned.
More manicured. Yeah, the one on the mountain is just, look at the limb. It goes out like 40 feet.
It's gorgeous. I love looking at oaks when they don't have their leaves. They're really... Can we eliminate Sutton Place?
I got my four picked out.
Sutton Place? This is the oak at Sutton
Place. The backyard. The guy whacked on those.
It's hardly even as tall as the...
Perfect. It's gone.
Okay.
All right. That was democratic.
With silver maples. I did not see that.
Got my pick.
You got your choices.
Yep.
Got your pick.
He's already narrowed it down.
What do you got?
Hmm?
Which ones?
Large oak.
On Church.
At four. Huh?
And the Port Orford Cedar. And the cedar on...
Dead Arn Harrison?
Yeah. And then the oak on North Mountain.
All right, any opinions on these silver maples?
No.
I don't know the trees,
but just because we don't know them...
You know, we say that, but silver maple got tree of the year once.
Yeah. I know, but I don't like them.
I have one in my front, and I just love my silver maple. They're great trees.
And this is on Croson. This is a part of town.
Their application points out that there is no tree of the year south of Ashland Street, and this would be the first
one.
These guys are in city limits?
City limits is right on the other side of Croson. So if you're going down Croson, it doesn't quite feel like you're in the city, but you're still just
there. You've got the whole Oak Knoll development there, huh? That's part of the city.
As far as the trees to the east, it would be the Clay Street Cottonwood, and then there's a Weeping Catalpa. Or is it a Weeping, the Weeping Catalpa or Weeping Mulberry? One of those streets. that one year. So those are the only ones I have. So anyway, it would include a section of town that's... Not
I right don't have the coronavirus.
I was going to say, should I get out
and
my
I'm
get out
following
my
protocol of sneezing inside my shirt. Okay. And I'll wash my hands and I won't touch any of you before I leave.
I like them as a pair. Kind of like the radars. Yeah.
Well,
Safeway.
Okay. Yeah. So we've eliminated
a
Sutton Place.
Tree. Look at that. That's awesome.
Was anyone able to locate the one at 620 Iowa?
No, I wasn't.
Let me see if I can do a Google map.
She's Google mapping. What do you guys think of the Doug Fir on Fairview?
It's got multiple leaders.
Okay, so what ones have we not gone over yet? So are we saying yes for now on the Silver Maple?
I'd
like to say yeah.
All right, so Doug Fir on Fairview.
Fairview. Where's Fairview?
It's above the boulevard.
Close to the Port Orford Cedar.
Yes, it's in that neighborhood.
Sherman.
Oh. Kind of like the Allison Union zone. Yeah.
I'd venture to say it's even bigger. 3 feet DBH.
100 feet tall.
Did you go and have a look?
Yes.
And there's no big
tree. I couldn't find any tree that was as large as that.
Is that like a blue cedar or something?
There was a spruce, there was a cedar, but there's definitely no sequoia 100 feet tall.
Okay. Well, we can eliminate that one.
I mean, I was hoping someone was going to tell me, Aaron, I don't know how you didn't see it, but I mean, I looked around.
Yeah, okay. I think we can probably eliminate the Madrone, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's like 80.
It's beautiful, though.
It's beautiful, yeah. But, I mean, you walk in Lithia Park, and there's like 100 that are just as beautiful, if not better, than that one.
Really?
Yes.
This is like, it's almost like bonsai.
Doug Fir, yay or nay? I'm a yay, but I'm biased. I climbed it and cabled it. It's a massive trunk.
I say yay because, you know, if people nominate big trees, you know, that deserve to be nominated, I think that's great. Our job is to really just pull out the jokes.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think anything you can hear is...
None of them are jokes. I mean, and I think probably someone's going to get their feelings hurt if we don't allow their tree to get voted on, but, you know, there it is.
So what are we down to, Aaron?
By my count, I have 10 still in the running.
10's a nice number.
10, there you go.
10's a nice number.
Do you want me to go through them? It's the Port Orford on Union, the Monterey Cypress, the Big Oak on Church, the Maple on B, the really bad form Pine on Holly Street. You can tell what my opinion on that one is.
Yes.
We got the Cedar at Harrison and Siskiyou. We got the Walnut basically across the street from it at the church. We got the Big Oak on North Mountain. We got the two Silver Maples on Croson, the Doug Fir, and that is the 10 that we're down to.
Yeah.
So we've only culled out what ones?
We culled out the Sutton Place.
The oak, oak on North Mountain. Why all that garbage under the shack and abandoned cars?
Because that is a 10-acre parcel, of which 2 acres are in the city limits. The remaining acres are an island of county, and it's a... undeveloped parcel that's going to turn into a neighborhood. That's a tree that someone's going to come in here and say, we want to subdivide.
One on Mountain.
And they're going to, they're going to have to work around that tree. Yeah.
Good.
So the reason that all that garbage is under there is that it's really a rural property right now.
Yeah.
But trust me, in the next couple of years, it'll be a neighborhood.
Okay.
Or bummer.
No, it's
or weeks. Someone's wanted to develop that.
Or right weeks.
Wow. A lot of pressure on it.
So what's the harm in leaving 10?
Hey, look, you guys think 10's the right number?
I think best case scenario just brings more awareness to more trees and people are like, cool.
Yeah.
It's a ton more work for you. I get that, but...
No, it's not a lot more work for me. Our GIS analyst might have a few words for me in the morning, but that's all right. I think 10's a nice round number.
Just buy him a latte. We can chip in if you need.
Okay, so it sounds like we're satisfied with that.
Yep. I had a discussion item. Risa followed up with me. Sorry, is this a good time to say it?
Go ahead. Sure. Well, I'm not sure what you're going to say.
Oh, well, she followed up with me on what she brought up last year in terms of best practices with fauna protection during tree removal.
I'd like to speak to that too.
And I just wanted to make sure it just didn't get... You know, like,
forgotten.
Yeah, what power do we have? What's your thoughts on that?
Mm-hmm. I don't know, and I talked more with Mike about it, too. Apparently, they called Wildlife Images, they called Critter Catcher, called the county. They tried multiple ways to get it down. The raccoon didn't die. They were able to rig it down slowly, and it jumped a limb when it was maybe 20 feet off the ground.
Oh, really?
And ran off. Stunned, and then it ran off.
I heard they just chunked it out, and it just free-fell right onto the
That's what I heard, too. I mean, that was... Word on the street was a bunch of tree guys just whacked this thing down, and the raccoon went splat in front of a bunch of kids on the street.
Yeah, I heard it laid still for a long time.
This story's a bit different.
Not good.
Yeah.
Oh, hell of a lot of stuff. But the follow-up would be what? What is the
One, do we have the power to say...
To create best practices.
One of the things, one of my suggestions was, and I actually had two suggestions about tree removal applications, and I'm not sure if this is on there already because I haven't actually looked at an application, is what they're planning to replant so that we can have that before us when we're making our decision. So if they're saying we're proposing to remove this and then a little line under that, what are you proposing to put in its place? That would be good information for us to have.
They often include that in their narratives.
But it's not a question that they're required to answer.
Well,
that's
so
what I'm saying.
The form that we use is a standard zoning form for all tree removals.
Right.
So, I mean...
could there be a line that's saying, is this tree being replaced? If so, what species are you proposing? Because that would give the arborist or at least the homeowner a chance to say, yes, I really want to put this paperbark maple. And we'd be like, yeah, that it helps our decision.
I, as a staff member, can endeavor to make sure that applications include that materials. Uh-huh. If you want the code to be changed, so that's a requirement for the application, let's go ahead and do it, but it's going to take us 6 to 9 months.
Okay, that's
so
fine.
So, I mean, because code...
To change a form?
No, to change the municipal code to make it a requirement.
No, I'm not saying it's a requirement. I'm just saying it's a question that they're asked on the form.
So the form that we use is a standard zoning form, whether it's you're going to apply for a subdivision or a tree removal. It's the same form.
Uh-huh.
So trying to... And I don't think I'm going to be able to sell that we need to develop a new form just for tree removals.
Okay.
We use one zoning form for all of those.
Okay.
If you wanted it to be a requirement for the applicant, that would require amending the municipal code, which we could endeavor to do mm-hmm. if we want to bring forward some code amendments. That is a long process.
Okay.
What I can do at the staff level, personally, is endeavor, because I speak to all of these people,
okay.
is to endeavor to make sure that that is included in their narrative.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think we could do that through our pre-app process and say, on projects that are not just tree removals, have all the staff telling people that to meet that criteria for mitigation, the expectation from tree commission is that you identify what your mitigation tree is and where it's going to be planted.
Well, so follow-up to that, based on this kind of discussion, is identifying, because usually the homeowner knows if there's like an animal or nesting or something living in that tree.
Sometimes.
I don't think that owner lives there.
Yeah.
Or like squirrels are pretty hidden.
Yeah.
Or maybe that could be in the arborist report.
Yeah.
Maybe the arborist report could say, this is what I'm planning to put in, and there's, you know, a family of 8 geese living up there. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, this is what I'm planning on removing? Like indicating...
Yeah, I'm going to be removing this tree. I think this is the species I want to replace it with, and by the way, there's a raccoon up there.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to find a way to follow up with what Reese was saying in terms of, like, so there's a heads up that this whoever the arborist is going to have to address the fact that there's a live animal living in that tree and take steps, not on the day that they have a whole crew there and the road's closed down and people are watching.
Yeah, you might be able to cite the Migratory Bird Act, which has a stipulation in there about fur-bearing animals, right? And to make observation of that before it becomes a hazard when you're, like you said, in the middle of the process. Because we should be looking for nests of any kind,
right.
Especially during certain months. And that should include an inspection of the cavities, visual from the ground. If there's any
isn't that something that you guys probably assess anyway?
Yeah, and every time before you go up the tree, you're looking for that too.
So I'm just like, how can we incorporate that into the best practices of?
Well, like you were saying, Mike did ask around, and no one really wanted to come get the raccoon. And he called Tree Care International. They didn't really know best practices, at least from what I remember him saying. Then they referred him to Brian up in Portland, the guy that taught the wildlife thing.
Yeah,
I think his name's Brian.
Brian French.
Yeah, and. They didn't really know. And then, so I was thinking, if there's not already a best practices regarding raccoons, I mean, in general, professionals shouldn't just take animals and throw them out of trees, whether it's against the law or best practice or not. That just looks really bad. I'm sure Bartlett lost a lot of potential clients on that day, whether it's against the rules or not. Anyway. But I think we're in a great position, being a recommended body for a known city in Oregon, to actually form the best practices and say, hey, ISA, Tree Care International, this is what we've come up with what we think is best practice, good best practice, and could you start recommending this to other arborists? I think, I think we actually have, I don't know, power, but we kind of look good, even though sometimes we don't have power, you look good.
And it's not that the animal has to be captured and relocated, but they need to have an opportunity to descend to the ground safely or not return to their nest the night before.
And so what Casey said, put some aluminum around it, because they're nocturnal. Right. It's going to come down, then it can't climb back up. I think that's, although it's a pain in the butt for a company that's already there, and they just find this animal, and now they've got to come back another day, that's kind of problematic and, you know, throws a whole wrench in their profit margin. But I think.
But if they know ahead when they're assessing the tree, there's a raccoon out there, it's going to be an issue.
And there's a best practice in place.
Yes.
They'll know, hey, let's just wrap some aluminum foil the night before or months before so that there's not critters up there when we're doing it. I think that sounds like an awesome best practice.
Yeah. Right.
Do you come across it at much in Lithia Park?
Occasionally. I, over the years, have come across raccoons a couple of times. None that have been injured, that either worked their way down or...
How do you deal with it?
Let them work their way down is what we've done in the past.
Yeah.
They go up there and then they'll try to figure out a way down.
Yeah.
That's while you're actively working the tree.
Yeah, if it's a kind of... It sounds like in that tree it was just, you know, a single leaf. Yeah, they was kind of trapped.
Yeah, it did not leave its cavity.
Something like an oak tree, it'll...
We had one of the Leland Cypress, it was so thick we didn't know it until we were halfway through removing this thing.
Yeah.
We took an early lunch, everybody sat back and just hung out for a bit. And
it left the tree.
Yeah.
In daytime.
In the middle of the day, yeah. I think given the opportunity, I think something like that with a lot of people standing around.
That's a tough one.
Probably freaking out.
And the noise of chippers and chainsaws.
Oh,
yeah.
And all the other trees that removed. Yeah.
And
it could have been in his family for many, many generations.
Yeah, I mean, that's the advantage. If the tree gets topped, it forms this nice little bowl-shaped cavity. Perfect spot to sleep.
As far as what we can do, short of changing the ordinance again, I don't know. Beyond, again, the suggestion or something that we make when we approve things every time.
Is there guidelines for the arborist report that aren't in the code?
I would defer to an arborist.
Yeah, but I think if people are coming to us as far as removing the tree, you know, if it looks, you know, like to us, like that there could be an animal, we could say, hey, there could be an animal, so we recommend this. But as far as like all that, you know, industry people, like grants passed and stuff, I think we just need to put the word out, like, hey, this is what we've come up with that could, that, you know, it'd be nice if we had a working example or a working, you know.
Well, then again, I come back to the Bird Act, because that covers birds as well, and I didn't know it covered fruit bearing, so that.
Yeah, I didn't know either.
Helps.
So.
And that is a legal document we can point to.
And is that linked in ISA documents or?
Yeah, I bet it could be found
in terms of best practices.
Yeah. It's an old rule on the books. It's a federal deal.
Yeah,
Trump is completely new to this, but
this with the birds, what they're teaching us is $100,000 fine for any kind of messing with bird protected by the Migratory Bird Act, including taking feathers,
bird.
Disturbing, like working too close, working within 30 feet or something of a active nest, or 100 feet of like a raptor nest. Some serious stuff.
Yeah,
but sometimes you don't see it. You're putting the tree, and it's like, oh no, there's a nest. And then, if you can, the best practice is to contact your officials and say, hey, what can I do to help this? You know, don't just kick it under a bush. Because I think a company did get fined like $400,000 or something.
$100,000 for each baby bird. Yeah. Robin.
For robins?
Wow.
It covers a lot of birds. It's a migratory song. And they were, removed the tree,
not
and they
just
found
rare
a nest.
Birds.
They found a nest and put it under the shrubs and to try to, you know, whatever, and people walking by and there's a big bird in the nest. So, two, one.
So, I've thought about just doing it myself. I don't know if I'm skilled enough to do it and have it be accurate, but do we want to take that on as a group? Say, due to the Migratory Bird Act and the protection of fur-bearing animals, this is the best practice that we think companies should follow. And then do we just put that out there with all the tree companies, or do we make that part of the paperwork or pamphlets or, I don't know.
I think making part of the paperwork sounds like an ordeal.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
Or maybe just do a better inspection when we're out looking at trees and we see cavities.
Is there, so there's no, like when you're preparing an arborist report, there's no like guideline sheet like, this is what the city wants you address. Is it a hazard? Is it, you know, this?
There is that guide.
So
there's a hazard.
What about if it was in those guidelines for the arborist report?
Yeah, I think that's an ordinance change.
You're going with the ISA risk assessment form?
No, just in the, which is in the ordinance where we get those guidelines, right? If it's a hazard, it's, I forget the number of it, but it's in, on
so
the
So when you're
right?
preparing your report, you look at, you know, what...
The risk assessment form is not in the ordinance, though, and that's become something we can suggest, right? Or it's even required on hazard.
So it's attached to street tree removals.
Okay.
But, I mean, that's a form that's from ISA.
Yeah.
So we're not actually going to be modifying that form, obviously.
But it's not, you don't have to modify the code to require that on street tree removals, right? You've been able
so
to
I'm not sure of the history of why that form is attached to street tree removals.
I remember talking about around this table that we should, if they're going to call it a hazard, they should fill out the
My guess, form. And I don't know the exact history, but I think because street trees are our trees, they have to have our permission to remove our trees. Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's codified. I think it's a matter of policy that we request
and we
that.
Haven't, I mean, we can't really call an application for a regular planning action tree removal incomplete because we don't have an ISA form.
Gotcha.
If there's some documentation on the migratory bird impacts, I mean, if you know somebody actually cutting a tree took down a nest with four robins and got that fine, if we could find that, and I can take it to the director, the thing I'm thinking is we might be able to put some kind of a disclaimer on, like on permits, on the actual permit form that prints out of our system, so we kind of have the ability to build those forms in the computer. So when somebody pays the receipt form, they get for fences has a number of items on
right.
it. Maybe we could put something relative to that.
Arborists must do due diligence to conform to ISA standards regarding migratory bird acts and bird bearing animals or something like that.
Yeah. And, you know, accidents happen sometimes too.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, I couldn't pay $4,000 fine.
Right.
You know, so it's like.
Yeah. But at least this is about educating and outreach. It's about trying to prevent something like what happened on Oak Street.
It's a level of awareness. Like, I mean, the whole thing was new to me until I took Brian French's.
Yeah, same with me.
And then lots of arborists.
And the cedar wasn't removed because it was a hazard. It was removed because it was dead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it was dead. But anyway, that's my understanding of that removal. And that's why it didn't come to us, because it was dead. So... Or no, wait, street tree
removal. Did it come to us?
The removal of a cedar?
Didn't we say that?
Or no, it's not a street tree.
No, the cedar that we're all talking about did not come before you.
Okay.
It was removed, and then after the fact, the arborist made the statement that it was dead.
Okay.
Which, by the way, if you want a project to clean up in terms of code, is easy code amendment. It's probably a project that we should think about, because if we're going to undertake a code amendment, let's look at the things... Not just one thing, because there's a number of things to clean up, but one of them, in my opinion, that's important is to require staff verification at the very least before, because right now, a dead tree is exempt, and there's been a number of times, those trees on 6th Street, for example, or East Main at 6th, was the arborist simply said, hey, they were dead, so they were exempt. Of course, by the time we're taking issue with it, the evidence is gone. So I would like to see there be a staff verification process where, you know, I feel pretty comfortable that even as a layperson, I can look at something and go, that's lifeless.
Yeah.
And at least then we know and it's been asked and answered, rather than dealing with that after the fact, because this has come up a number of times.
Yeah.
There are trees that look dead, too, like a Dawn Redwood. Or a larch or something that looks dead, and it's just dormant.
So I'm more than happy to put code amendments for future discussion. One item that I do really want to tackle,
I think we've made some progress
in
the discussion,
is Earth Day is coming up.
Yeah, thanks. So I've been chatting a lot with Doug Cave. I think we've talked about this last time, Sheriff Booth with the wildfire committee.
I can pick up the stuff. I can set it up.
What we need to move forward is approval to go ahead and fill out the application. And
so are they registering for the table?
They registered, but they said they could not register us as well, that we need to do it.
So if we're sharing a table, wouldn't there only need to be one registration?
Or maybe as an entity we need to register.
Okay.
Doug seemed to think we needed to put our name on it. And there's some reason he couldn't.
I just have to check with Paige Pruitt.
Paige Pruitt?
Yeah. And she can tell us if we're sharing a table.
I've got her
now. Okay, so in the event that we do need to register on our own independently, what I would like to have is a motion and a vote to authorize those funds. If we don't need to spend it because they've already registered, great. But for us to actually spend those monies, I'd like there to be a vote.
Okay, so Doug says he's got the Wildfire Commission all signed up for Earth Day, but there was no way to sign up the Tree Commission. There was a brief Q&A about why you went to exhibit at Earth Day and took about 5 minutes. Just go to Rogue Valley Earth Day 2020 and follow the prompts for being an exhibitor.
How much does it cost?
So it... Are we sharing a table or not? Because if we're sharing a table, there should only be one registration fee for the table.
Okay. I'll find out.
Well, did we have two tables? I think we had two tables. We had, you know, we had our canopies.
Well, it sounds like Aaron wants us to kind of vote on releasing the funds in case we do need to do that.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out what it is the body wants to do.
Yeah. I think...
Did we have our own table last year? I thought we did.
I think we do, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's good to have...
I thought we shared with Firewise last year.
It was a forest fire resilience wildfire thing with Doug. How much? I mean,
I think it's $75, which is about half of our annual money.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, you know, what else do we need money for? I mean, potentially Arbor Day stuff, buying some trees and planting them, or. Going to rely on...
Well, normally we try to do something for the tree of the year, but we can't afford to do plaques anymore because a small plaque is like $150. Yeah. We don't have much money to work with. Yeah. Should I explore whether we can simply tag on to the wildfire thing without spending those monies?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I get a motion and a vote to approve it should we need to? Because this is going to be something that has to happen before the next meeting.
I make a motion to approve it should we need to.
Okay.
I second it, yeah.
One favor.
Because, yeah, it's like a $2,000 thing, and we end up, you know.
I just went to Plant Oregon, and they have a gorgeous selection of madrones right now. So
we've got one.
Yeah. Some really nice. Apparently, they just go around collecting bear scat. And that's how they sprout them.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't that
cool?
Stomach acid.
Yeah.
That's good.
I was just thinking, you know, we could buy some nice madrones for the golf course or whatever for our Arbor Day celebration. Or
Well, there's like physical bears and then like germination inhibitors and seeds. So some seeds need to be like...
Have you been by to see those?
They're huge.
Hot temperature, like a burn, or a cold temperature.
Let's
like
try to find time to talk a little bit next week so I can get some more information about that planting, because like I want to be able to say something.
Yeah, I will get with Mike and make sure there's a date nailed down.
Or even if there isn't a nailed down date, just
smoke.
I just want to make sure that what I'm saying or what Chris is saying in front of council is accurate.
Tobacco,
okay.
If the matter is that it's a date to be determined, that's fine. Okay. I just want to make sure that we aren't saying anything inaccurate.
A lot of seeds in Australia won't crack open.
Right, so maybe that would work.
Yeah, that would be good.
Leaping seeds, you can take
that's the national
Arbor Day. Seed code.
So you guys are talking Arbor Day stuff? Are we good there? Do we need to follow up? Or we?
Do you know anything additional about that with Casey and you know that
no is Meyer
right
memorial.
So I think that's the thing Kestrel so right.
I will you see Mike soon I can call too but maybe you guys can chat and
I'll get with him and then I'll get back to you
thank you
yeah
right
who's this thing?
So that
mine probably
I think that's pretty certain that's going to happen.
Did we get one of those Hiroshima trees? Did we get one of the Hiroshima trees?
We've got one up in the
Did it, have you planted it already?
I don't think it's been planted yet, no.
So in town, they're doing a whole ceremony. And
oh, okay.
Mike came and talked about that,
yeah.
but
what
I don't...
What was the location that he decided on? Because he had thought...
Oh, that's right.
Because he had thought about the where the Tree of Heaven kind of used to be, but...
I don't think we've ever heard of a final location. I remember him coming before us to talk about it.
Yeah.
I'll make a point of following up with him and
ask about that too. I think
might
that's
be cool
still
to put it in with the new Japanese garden. I mean, yeah. That's mm-hmm. part of that gate ceremony was mm-hmm. on Hiroshima Day, right? Was honoring the. That would be a cool incorporation into the new Japanese garden design. Is some Hiroshima trees. That would be powerful.
Yeah, totally. I still think they should do a big forest of bamboo. Like that whole big
take
grass lawn. It doesn't have to be
a
tiny little rectangle. It can just be
nice word game.
Yeah.
Knocked it out.
Are we adjourned? Prime Minister?
We are adjourned. 8:10.
Thank you, everyone. That was impressive.
Yeah, thanks, everyone. Yeah,
thank you.
I'm glad it went quick.
Aaron, you want this?
Yes,
please. Your copy?